They had left immediately in the dead of night, which Anya thought was an auspicious time to begin a journey into the unknown. Rajiv had a large group of men and four large trucks that pulled Zodiac boats. The rigid-hulled inflatable boats were capable of deep water and shallow water performance. They were perfect for the kind of river terrain Rajiv expected they'd have to traverse. Anya was kept handcuffed and under watch, so there was no opportunity for escape. The journey was 2 days of hard traveling through the jungle, down earthen roads, trails, and finally along the Vaigai River. When they reached that point, they couldn't take the trucks any farther, and Rajiv gave orders to put the Zodiacs into the water. Within minutes, the boats were inflated, the engines mounted, and they were underway. Anya sat, still cuffed, in the middle of the second boat. The ride was rough because the river flattened out in places and there was a lot of debris to be negotiated. The branches of teak and mountain ebony trees spanned the river in most places. Below them, even the water looked green. Monkeys and brightly colored birds erupted from the trees at the approach of the Zodiacs. Goraksh sat in front of Anya. During the past few days, he hadn't talked to her much, but she'd seen the fearful way he'd acted around his father.
Do you want something to eat, Anya?
Please.
What would you like?
Yogurt, an apple, and a bottle of water.
Here you are. I'm sorry.
I'll manage without a spoon.
No, that you are here. Like this.
This isn't your fault.
He's my father. But I didn't know about all of the...
Shut your mouth, Goraksh. No talking to the prisoner.
I'm sorry. I can't talk to you. If I do, it'll go harder on you.
I understand.
They stopped to camp early that evening. When Anya was walked to privacy among the trees for a bathroom break, the scar-faced man and two others accompanied her. Suddenly, the man grabbed Anya by the hair. He thrust his face into hers and breathed his foul breath over her.
Don't play games with a boy or I'm going to lose you in the river. Do you understand me?
Get off of me!
Anya tried to pull away, but he yanked her back as she'd thought he would. Her body slammed against his.
Don't disrespect me. Otherwise, I could tell Rajiv that you tried to escape.
I understand.
She tried to look afraid. It was easy to do because she was partially fearful that he would notice she'd slipped the small knife from his hip. She hid the blade in her hands and turned toward the bushes.
Quickly!
All right.
Anya stepped behind the brush and flipped the knife around. The disposable plastic handcuffs parted easily. Taking advantage of her full mobility, she reached into the otherwear.
What was that? What the hell?
The enraged man burst through the brush and charged towards Anya. Already in motion, Anya spun behind a tree. The scar-faced man spotted her. He raised his machine pistol. As Anya whirled around the tree, she dropped into a crouch and gripped the sword in both hands. She knew none of Rajiv's men would hesitate to track her into the jungle and kill her if they got the chance. She had to make them fear her. She spun around the tree. The scar-faced man saw her at the last moment and tried to bring around the machine pistol. Bullets ripped through the branches and brush above Anya's head as she stepped forward and shoved the sword through the man's heart. The man froze and looked down at the weapon that pierced him. He let the machine pistol drop from his fingers as he reached for the sword with his other hand.
The girl! She's trying to escape!
Anya tried to pull the sword free, but the man had a death grip on it. One of the other men raised his weapon towards Anya, but she spun, turning the corpse with her. Bullets stitched up the dead man's side and ripped through his scarred face. Anya was still unable to remove the sword, so she let it go. Anya grabbed the phone the man carried at his hip. Then she turned and fled into the brush. The men followed her. Anya held her arms crossed over her face as she ran, but branches still stung her face and neck. A half-buried root tripped her and she sprawled forward. She caught herself on her palms, skidded painfully, and pushed herself back to her feet. Pausing behind another tree, she reached out for the sword. It filled her hand and she pulled it to her. She ran away from the Vaigai River. She wasn't worried about getting lost. Finding the river again would be easy enough once she evaded Shivaji's men. More than that, she knew where they were headed. She intended to follow. But she needed an army at her back. James Fleet sat in the office he'd borrowed from Inspector Ranga. He sifted through the digital images Anya Creed had taken. There were a lot of them. He concentrated on the ones of the book that Professor Rai had said was the object of Rajiv Shivaji's assault on the Casablanca Moon. Despite going over the images for 2 days, he couldn't understand why Rajiv Shivaji would be interested in the book. So far, no one he had found could read it.
Fleet here.
Where are you?
At the police station. Where are you, Captain Mahendra?
At the base. We just had an interesting phone call from an even more interesting woman.
Anya Creed?
You've spoiled my surprise.
Where is she now?
In the interior, traveling along the Vaigai River.
How did she get there?
She managed to escape Shivaji.
What's Shivaji doing in the middle of the jungle? He should be running for Europe or Africa at this point, somewhere that won't extradite to India or Britain.
Believe it or not, he's looking for a lost city.
Well, I don't believe it.
It's true. Anya Creed insists that's what Shivaji is after.
Is there a lost city out there?
If a lost city was out there and people knew about it, then it wouldn't be so lost, would it?
No, I suppose it wouldn't. Can you locate her?
The techs are able to lock in on her GPS coordinates through the satellite phone she was using.
What's going to be done about it?
The military is putting together a special forces team to go in and get her.
I hate being left out of the action.
I pointed out that this began as your investigation. I told the people who put the insertion together that the International Maritime Bureau needed a representative to look out for their interests. They agreed. If you're willing, of course.
Oh, I'm willing. Just tell me where I have to be.
Anya trudged along the bank of the slow-moving river. Walking in the dark was hard work, and she didn't have a flashlight. Escape wasn't always a convenient thing. Not that she could have used a flashlight anyway. She figured Rajiv and his men were probably still camped somewhere ahead of her. She'd ended up covering more ground than she'd thought. Now she was tired and hungry. But she couldn't get the idea of the relocated Kumari Kandam city out of her mind. The jungle hid a lot of things. She couldn't help wondering if it still existed. 2,500 years had passed since anyone had heard of it. Still, surely something would be left. Sahadeva had described a large city of carved stone built into the side of a mountain. History had a way of losing things, though, and one earthquake could have lost the city again, forever. Anya wanted to rest. She wanted a hot meal, and she wanted a bath and a warm bed. More than any of those things, though, she wanted to see what was at the other end of the map.
Hello?
Miss Creed? I am Major Anil Patel of the Kumaon Parachute Regiment. I'll be in charge of your rescue this morning.
Good to hear you, Major. You said Parachute Regiment?
I did. If you'll just hold the line for a moment, my tech tells me he can locate you, which will help us drop as close as possible to your position. Ah, there you are. We're coming in now.
Anya squinted up at the sky. A large plane flew overhead. Tiny black spots dropped from it, then blossomed into parachutes.
You want to be careful here, Major. There's a river close by.
We see the river. My lads won't be landing in the river, I promise you. I'll be there in a moment.
As Anya watched the parachutes drop toward the jungle, she wondered if Rajiv or his men could see them too. If they could, it was going to be a foot race from this point on. She also wondered if they were bringing food. She'd missed dinner by escaping. James Fleet narrowly missed hanging his parachute in a tree. He would have been mortified if that had happened. The paratroopers hit their marks like circus performers, even though there was precious little open space. Abundant tree and brush growth covered most of the available terrain. The inflatable boats did get caught up in the trees. Without a word, prearranged teams set up a perimeter around the landing area, and others went for the equipment. Out of habit, Fleet pulled the parachute to him and wadded it up. He adjusted his equipment and walked over to Major Patel and the woman. Anya Creed's pictures hadn't done her justice. Even after days of being a hostage and hours of wandering around in the dark while the rescue effort was arranged, he thought she was strikingly beautiful. More than that, she was composed, as if everything she'd been through were just another day at the office. Fleet had to admit that after researching her before and after her abduction by Rajiv, he had felt a stirring of interest. She was definitely a woman who could take care of herself.
Do you need anything, Miss Cree?
Food and water. When I escaped, I didn't have time to steal provisions. I wasn't yet to the point of foraging in the jungle for edible plants and lizards.
Of course. You can start with this power bar.
Miss Creed, I'm James Fleet with the International Maritime Bureau. You might not have heard of the agency, but...
Oh, I know of the agency. Who's in charge here? The IMB or the Indian military?
Major Patel is in charge of the rescue operation. I'm here to apprehend Rajiv Shivaji. With the Major's assistance, of course.
Rajiv has a well-armed group of mercenaries with him. You'll need help.
Right. So, where is Shivaji?
If I haven't gotten totally lost, he should be just ahead of us.
Anya sat in one of the inflatable boats the Indian paratroopers had brought. They chose not to use the outboard motors and pulled through the river with paddles instead. The men moved in unison, their movements as smooth as clockwork, and they went up the river steadily. With the sun lightening the sky in the east, they came up on Rajiv Shivaji's campsite. The lead boat pulled over to the bank of the river on the side where the campsite was. The other two boats pulled over to the opposite bank. Anya watched as snipers crept into the brush, taking up positions, and other paratroopers got set up to provide covering fire. Anya watched as the shoreline team closed on the campsite. Patel, standing a little ahead of Anya, dropped his rifle from his shoulder and turned to face Anya.
No one is there. Judging from the coals of the fire, they've been gone for a few hours.
They left before dawn. They knew Miss Creed got away, and they probably knew she had captured a phone. They chose to put some distance between them. They might have even seen the plane last night and known we were coming.
I know where he's going. I saw the map he's following.
Going farther into the interior against an armed force like that will be dangerous. It would be better to wait for them to return.
They might not come this way. Shivaji may arrange an aerial extraction. Major, I know this is dangerous, but I'd rather not let these people get away if we have a chance to stop them. Shivaji is probably responsible for even more murders than we're aware of.
My orders were to secure Miss Creed and to capture Shivaji if I could.
There's still a chance you can. And if he gets away, he's just going to kill again.
Major, Rajiv Shivaji believes he's pursuing a lost treasure out here. If it truly exists, and I don't know if it does, it could be from one of the earliest civilizations ever discovered in this area. It could be a significant find. Not choosing to protect that would be shameful.
So by all accounts, we got to be heroes here. Either for capturing a wanted killer, or for saving a chunk of history. Is that how it is?
I believe so.
That's how I'll note it in my book.